Thank you for listening to Wichita Means Business and KNSS and for joining us this Saturday morning. We appreciate you taking time out of your Saturday schedule to join us and be with us. Today, we'd like to talk about real estate and more specifically, investment real estate, investing in rental properties and flipping homes for resale, which of course is a very popular trend going on in our area around here, I believe. But we have a special guest in our first segment today that really is an authority, an expert in this field. We're talking with Dr. Stanley Longhofer, who's the founding director of the WSU Center for Real Estate and is the Stephen L. Clark Chair of Real Estate and Finance in the Barton School of Business at Wichita State. Dr. Stan, thank you for being here today.
Well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure to join you.
Sorry if I call you that, Dr. Stan?
Absolutely.
Is that what everybody at the school calls you?
Dr. Stan, Dr. L, whatever works fine.
All right, great. Well, we sure appreciate you being here, getting up early on Saturday morning and joining us. Give us some details on your expanding role at Wichita State University. I know that, gosh, you do a lot of things over there, and I know that your focus is, of course, on the real estate, and you have a big report that you do every year, and which we'd sure like to talk about that, but kind of give us a snapshot, if you would, of all the things that you're directing over at Wichita State.
Sure. Well, I'm a professor in the business school at Wichita State, and we have one of the only four-year degree programs in real estate in the region, the only one at a Regents institution at Kansas, and so I oversee that program and teach a lot of the real estate courses, including real estate investments, development, general introduction to real estate finance, and so forth. But in addition, I'm the director of the Center for Real Estate, which is an outreach center to try and really bridge the divide between what we do at the university in terms of our teaching and our research and the professional community. And so through the Center for Real Estate, we provide research services and analysis for real estate professionals and for government officials and the general public about what's going on in real estate markets around the region. One of the real advances we've had here recently was an expanded new website that we unveiled just last year. And on that website, we now provide a lot of data and graphs and analysis of real estate markets, not just Wichita, but every major market in the state. And so we'd really encourage people to look at that website when they're trying to analyze and understand what's going on in real estate markets.
If you're listening and following along today, we'd encourage you to do that right now. You can go to that website and check out some of the details. It's realestate.wichita.edu, right?
That's right. If you put into a search engine Wichita State Real Estate, our website will be one of the first ones that comes up as well. We really try and serve the community at Wichita State by taking the expertise that we have as researchers and as teachers who are really spending a lot of time developing a deep understanding of our different areas of expertise. Part of our role is to then be able to communicate that and serve the community at large by answering questions and dealing with issues that are related to our particular fields. So
that's just a great resource for entrepreneurs and people that are just interested in real estate. That's amazing that we have that right here in Wichita to take advantage of.
And it's the only Regents school in the state of Kansas where we have that.
Wow. Okay. I know recently, every year, you do an annual report, and I'm unclear, I don't actually remember if it's, I think it's for Kansas, is it just for Wichita? Or?
We do an annual housing forecast for the state of Kansas as a whole and for every metropolitan area in the state. So we do one for Kansas City, Lawrence, Manhattan, Topeka, and Wichita. And the Wichita report we've been doing for, I think, 11 years now. So it's been a long, long time that we've been doing that report, and I think it's well received and provides good information that people are able to use both in their personal life and in their professional lives.
I always enjoy when that comes out and looking at it and trying to just get a little bit of a snapshot of what's happening and what you see is going to happen. It's kind of an advanced look too. I mean, you project a little bit what you think is going to happen for the rest of the year, right?
That's right. It comes out every October and we project through the end of the following year. So our forecast that's out right now projects through the end of 2017.
All right. Can you give us some of the highlights in the current report that's out?
Sure. We forecast that existing home sales are going to continue on a steady run. They've been on a nice steady upward track now for about 6 years, and we're expecting that to continue. Through 2017, we expect increase of another 4-5% in home sales activity. What's more exciting is that we're really beginning to see some real strong home price appreciation. And so the homes that are out there, for a number of years, we had home prices that were just flat. They just didn't move move anywhere. And over the last couple of years, we've seen some more solid appreciation. And we're forecasting over the next 2 years, annual appreciation rates in the range of about 4%. We forecast a little bit higher rates for the end of 2016, and we haven't seen the final figures come in for that yet. But for 2017, we're forecasting appreciation of about 3.5%.
Is that forecast, is it the same number regardless of the price range of the home, or is it different for different price points?
As I like to tell my students, that's a really good question, because sometimes people look at aggregate numbers on the housing market and they think, oh, homes in Wichita have appreciated by 4.5%, so my house is appreciated by 4.5%, and that's just not the case. No one owns the average Wichita home. And so when we project what's the average appreciation in the market, it's taking a lot of different appreciation rates that happen from some homes that lose value, some homes that gain a lot of value, and it averages those numbers out across the entire market. But that really brings up a point that I really like to emphasize, is that while you can get some broad market indicators from our website, if you want specific information about your house and your neighborhood, that's when you really need to work with the practicing real estate professionals, whether it's a realtor or whether it's an appraiser, to get specific information about what's going on in your neighborhood and with your particular home in that neighborhood.
It's always interesting to me with some of my real estate buddies that I talk to and sell advertising to, you know, they tell me about the different numbers of homes that sell in these different price ranges, like homes between 75 and 200 or 75 and 150, and then homes over 200 or over 300, and how many are on the market, and how many months supply are there. And it's just amazing and interesting to me that can be broken down in such a specific way. And then I guess it would just follow suit that homes in those price ranges in the similar conditions would have different price appraisals and increases.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see what's been happening in the market. Broadly, we've had a very, very tight market where the inventory of homes available for sale has not kept pace with the sales that have occurred. And so as a result, we see this strong price appreciation that's begun to take hold again. Nevertheless, that's very different depending on what segment of the market you're in. If you look at homes that are in this $100,000 to, say, $200,000 price range, which is really the bread and butter of the market, that's where the most desirable homes in the nice neighborhoods that are affordable and that a lot of people are interested in, that segment of the market is incredibly tight right now. There's just not a lot of inventory. And so when those homes are being listed for sale, they are often selling very quickly, a matter of days, with multiple offers. On the other hand, sometimes homes that are more expensive in the upper price ranges or homes that are in some of the lower price ranges, those may have some different dynamics that are going on. And again, that's why it's really important to talk to a professional when you're thinking about either buying a home or putting your home on the market, to really know, given what I'm looking for, given what I have, how do we best position and work through the market with the given the current market conditions?
It was interesting to me. A couple of months ago, I knew about a house that an offer had been put in, and they put the offer in for $10,000 more than asking price, still didn't get the house. Somebody
yes.
else bid more.
Right. One of the things that's very much the case for buyers right now is that if you're interested in buying, you have to come in prepared. And that means you need to come in with the ability to demonstrate that you will be able to get the financing you need and that you'll be able to close the deal. And buyers that are willing to accept fewer conditions of the sale, buyers that come in with a pre-qualification letter where they've said, yes, I've been approved for my lender, so I know I can get the loan, those are buyers that are going to have a better chance of getting the homes they want when they make the offer. The other thing that I hear from realtors is you just have to be prepared to move quickly. Buyers need to come in and make an offer immediately if they see a home that they like. If they wait, it's very likely going to be gone.
Might be gone. We're talking with Dr. Stan Longhofer. He is with the WSU Center for Real Estate. He's our special guest in the studio today, telling us all about the details of real estate in our market here in Wichita. And so if you're buying or selling a home or thinking about it, this would be a really good segment for you to lean in and catch some of the details on. You can follow along online as well at realestate.wichita.edu. Lots of information there that will be helpful to you if you're looking at changing your home status. Dr. Stan, I know a lot of people are interested in real estate to flip homes and get rental properties as kind of a retirement strategy. Is that true, you think?
Well, I think people are certainly interested in real estate. You know, you always see the late night infomercials and things about how you can get rich and no work at all. And I think sometimes that's a little bit misleading. owning rental real estate is a lot of work, but it can be a great way to build wealth. And so if you're willing to do the work and you're willing to put the time into it, then it can be a fantastic supplemental income for a lot of people.
So if somebody is kind of has an entrepreneurial spirit and they'd like to do a project on their own and try to have a good outcome like that financially where they can make a few dollars and be a part of something they can put their fingerprints on, would you suggest real estate as a viable option?
Well, again, I love real estate, and I think it's a great way to earn income and to build wealth over time. But you have to be prepared for all of the work involved. If you're going to be a small property owner, first of all, you have to do a lot of research to make sure that you're really buying the right property. One of the truisms of real estate is that you make all of your money the day you buy the property. And by that, we mean if you overpay for the property, if you pay too much on the front end, no matter how nice the property is, it will always be a lousy investment. On the other hand, if you pay the right price for it, even a difficult property can be a great investment. So do your research up front and know what's the right price to pay, and then be willing to walk away if you can't get the property for the price you need.
There's really lots of variables, aren't there? Like the neighborhood, the purchase price, the amount of work that it needs.
And then what kind of rents it can command and what kind of vacancy rate you can expect on that. And so it takes a lot of research up front to really know whether or not that property is going to be a good investment. And then on the back end of it, you have to be prepared to do the work, because you're either going to hire somebody as a property manager and you're going to hire people to do the maintenance and the work on the property, or you're going to do it yourself. And either way, you're either going to spend money or you're going to spend a lot of time, and that's going to eat into the returns that you get on that investment. You have to be prepared for that.
Are there any guidelines that you feel comfortable with? For example, like if somebody's going to buy a home to flip or to rent, and they look at the neighborhood and assess some of the comparable values that are out there with homes that have sold recently, is there a range of percentage that they should buy the home in or try to buy it in, like 35% of the price it might bring later, or 50%?
Yeah, there's not really a single rule of thumb for, boy, this is the price you have to get for a property in order to make it a good investment. You really have to look at what's your long-term strategy with the investment. Are you going to hold it? Or are you planning on selling it in the future? What kind of additional money will you have to put into it? And then once again, what sort of rents are you going to be able to get out of it if you're owning it long-term? So it's a little more complex than just trying to have a quick, simple rule of thumb.
All right, we're talking with Dr. Stan Longhofer with the WSU Center for Real Estate. He's given us some good advice on flipping properties or buying properties to rent. If you'd like to go to their website and follow along, you can check it out at realestate.wichita.edu, and they'll have some great information there for you. Let's shift gears a little bit and just talk about maybe as a retirement strategy, and I hope this isn't an unfair question. If it is, we'll move on to the next one, but would it be better for somebody to try and make, say, double payments on their current home and pay it off and then have their retirement without any expenses? Or would it be better to try to take and save up 30% each year or two and pick up a rental property and get that going? I mean, if you're comparing the two strategies, is there one you think would have an edge over the other?
Well, wow, that's a really good question as well, because you know, what you're really trading off is, are you building your overall asset base and building the number of properties that you own, or are you trying to have them free and clear so that you're building your net worth? Once again, I'm afraid there's not a simple answer to that question. It's going to trade off between what's the rate of return that you get on the properties that you're acquiring and the interest rate that you're paying on your own mortgage or the mortgages for other rental properties that you have. As a general rule, however, I am a big believer in working towards being debt-free. I'm not somebody who thinks that debt is evil. Debt is a tool. But like any tool, if it's not used well, it can be dangerous. It can be misused. One of the things that debt does is it presumes on what will happen in the future. When I take out a loan, whether it's a mortgage loan or any type of loan, I'm assuming that I will have the income in the future to be able to make the scheduled payments on that loan. Well, a lot of things can happen. And one of the great things about real estate is that if you own real estate free and clear, no matter what happens with the economy in the future, you're going to be very flexible to be able to deal with it. That asset will be there. On the other hand, if you have debt, something bad happens, you have a large vacancy rate, for instance, and you're not able to have the property occupied for a period of time, you may have difficulty making your mortgage payment, and you may put that asset at risk. When you get it free and clear, you've got a lot more flexibility to deal with unexpected bad circumstances that may happen. So long term, I think it's a good idea to try and work your way to having the real estate free and clear. But in the short run, using your free cash flow to acquire more assets as opposed to paying down your debt faster, that might make sense. And so that's a complex trade-off that you have there.
All right. I know you used to be on the Federal Reserve Board. And so this is kind of an interest question that I'd like to ask you. And I know generally kind of how you think about this a little bit, but right now interest rates are great still. They've gone up a little bit. But I read an article recently that said the Fed was going to be increasing the interest rates probably this year in a pretty aggressive mode. Number one, do you think that's going to happen? Number two, you think we'll still end up with an attractive housing market even if they do raise the rates? What's your thought on those?
Well, first, let me clarify. I worked for the Federal Reserve Bank in Cleveland as an economist. I wasn't a member of the Federal Reserve Board. President Trump hasn't called me yet.
Is that right? Okay.
So we'll see if that ever happens in the future, but I think that's unlikely. But I did spend 5 years with the Fed in Cleveland as a research economist, and it was a great opportunity. We worked to brief our president as our president went and served on the Federal Open Market Committee and would make interest rate decisions and so forth. You know, we were always trained that whenever someone asked us what will happen with interest rates, our stock response at the Fed was, they'll fluctuate. And it is a little bit hard to predict, but one of the things that we certainly know is that we've been in an extraordinary period of extremely low interest rates for a very long period of time. It's hard to imagine any circumstances where interest rates will continue to fall. And instead, we've begun to see the Fed move interest rates up. And we have been hearing more and more noise from members of the Federal Open Market Committee that they expect to see more interest rate increases over the coming year. I personally think that that's going to be a slow, steady, measured process. I don't think you're going to see them move really sharply very quickly, because the economic statistics that we've been seeing about the overall state of the economy have still been mixed. While they've been stronger, they've still been two steps forward, one step back, three steps forward, one step back. Generally, when the Fed makes really strong, fast moves with the interest rates, it's when they're seeing an economy that's really going gangbusters and looking like it's overheating. That really hasn't been on the horizon. On the other hand, I think it's been really, really good to see the Fed begin to move interest rates up. We've been in an unusual and an extraordinary situation with the low, low interest rates that, quite frankly, isn't healthy for the overall economy. And we're better off if we're in a situation where we're back to more normal interest rates.
All right, there you have it. Dr. Stan Longhofer with the Real Estate School over at the Barton School of Business at Wichita State University. We're so glad to have him in the studio today. Dr. Stan, thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.